This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Brian Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
You know, this morning in prayer, we were praying for you guys. And, you know, one of the things that that really kind of came up in prayer was, and you guys have heard this in Isaiah 43:19, that says that I am about to do something new. I'm about to do something new. See that I have already begun to do it. Do you see it? Do you see it? You know, and that was what we were praying today for everyone. We were just praying for our family. We were praying for people to see it. How many of you guys wanna see it? Yes. I'll tell you what, that's why Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 and 3, you know, that our eyes would be opened, you know, and that's what we've been praying. We just really spent some time praying on that today. And I just believe that there's some people in here that are in our family, that maybe some things in life have happened, and your vision of the future may not be as bright as it should. But I just want to tell you today that there is great hope. There's great encouragement ahead and in store for you. And my encouragement to you is to go to the Word and begin to just see what that is. Because it's gonna take some work, but I believe that in these weeks and months ahead of you, that God will begin to reveal those new places, those new paths, those new ways that He has for you. And I know that sometimes, you know, when things happen in life, we have a tendency to look disparagingly about it, not have a lot of hope. But I just want you to know today that I believe that the Spirit of God's gonna be helping you in these months ahead to see it a different way. Just as He said here, do you see it? I will make the pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And He wants to do that for you. Amen. So that's just an encouragement for you guys, you know, for those that may need that. And so, that wasn't part of my message, but I felt inspired to share that with you. So today, I want to share with you, today is our Heart for the House. For those of you that didn't know about that or didn't remember that, Heart for the House is just an offering that we're going to be taking up here at the end of service. And the whole idea behind it is to just take care of some projects that we have around here and sow into what it is that's going on here. How many of you guys have a Heart for the House? Ah, yes, I do too. And you know, before we get into this, how many of you guys have ever rented or done an Airbnb? Anybody in here ever done that? Yeah, there's a few of you guys. You know, the first time that we did an Airbnb, it was about 3 years ago or 4 years ago. We were gonna go over to the Mississippi River. I found this amazing place. It looked so cool. It was up on top of this thing and it overlooked the Mississippi River. And I was like, man, this is gonna be great, you know? And so we hauled the family there. But the problem was is that I didn't have any track record with Airbnb. So people were really skeptical to rent to me. So the first person that I rented that I reached out to said no. And I was like, come on, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm an upstanding guy. And so the second person I reached out to them and actually I messaged them and they said, yeah, we'll do that, but we want to verify that you are who you say you are. And so, you know, I had to do all these things. I had to take a picture. I had to send my tax return. I had to give them my firstborn child. I had to do all of these things just to secure the rental, you know. And so, you know, when it's the first time that you do something, you understand that the property belongs to somebody else. And so when you show up, you know, Rachel and I, we're really like really protective, you know, and our four kids are just, they're all over the place. And, you know, Will, he can be rambunctious. So, I mean, you know, there's nothing for him to jump off of a couch and swing, you know, on a chandelier or something of that kind, you know? And so you kind of have to show some caution, you know, because it's like, this isn't ours and there's a deposit and there's all of these things that you want to make sure that everything goes well, you know? You don't want to put holes in the walls and so you're just kind of careful, you know, and you're just like real, real careful. Anybody ever been there before? You don't want to break anything. Why? Because it's not yours, right? And if it's mine, it's like I'm gonna do what I want. I'm gonna eat in the recliner. I'm gonna eat in the bed. I'm gonna do whatever I want to do. Why? Because it's mine. And so, you know, that's what we're going to talk about today, is this whole concept of stewarding things, you know. And so when we rented that, thankfully we rented it, and it was a great time, and I got a great review, and now I don't have to jump through all the hoops when I rent on Airbnb. But, you know, stewarding is the management of the property of another. It's the management of the property of another. You know, and so, you know, in our time here today, I want to take some time here to just remind you. And some of you guys, you know, you may have a great understanding of what it means to be a steward, but I think that it's always healthy for us to have that in the forefront of our mind. And we're going to see firsthand why that is. And so if you're taking notes today and want to follow along, we've got them on the screens there too. But the first point that I want to make today is that stewardship is God's design. Did you know that? That stewardship is not just something that was made up. No, you know, it was his design from the very beginning. Look at what it says here in Genesis 1:28. It says that God blessed them. He blessed them with rain, lots and lots of rain, and lots of grass, and lots of mowing. It's raining right now. You guys hear that? It's beautiful. The farmers are like, yes, right. Okay, so his design was from the beginning, and God, what does it say? God blessed them. And this is Adam and Eve in the very beginning. He blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that is living and moving. So we can see here firsthand that God, what did he do? He blessed them. And he gave Adam and Eve something. And he said, listen, I'm giving you something, and I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to multiply. I want you to add something to it. I want you to do something with it. What's he really saying? He's saying, I'm expecting something to be done. I'm expecting you to take care of what it is that I have blessed you with. You know, in another version, or actually in another scripture here to follow, Genesis 2:15 says that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to do what? To work it and to keep it. And so you guys remember too, as you read in Genesis, we remember that God made all of this stuff. He made all of the animals and all the plants and all of this stuff, and he put man and he put woman in there, and then he said, you can have it all, but there's one tree that's mine. Right? Don't touch it. And what did that tree do? That tree was a reminder to Adam and Eve that, listen, you are meant to tend this. You are meant to keep this. It's a reminder that you are a steward of what it is that I have given to you. You're not the owner. I'm the owner. You can have it all except that tree. It's just a reminder of that. And so we have to understand that stewardship was God's design from the very, very beginning. And that kind of leads us to point number two, is that stewardship is expected. It's expected. Matthew 25, and this is a longer portion of scripture, but it's a good scripture for us to look at to really, you know, solidify what stewardship really is. And so we're just going to go down through this, and I'm going to make some points, and we're going to get something out of this. Amen. Matthew 25:14 says that, again, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, can be illustrated. So Jesus, this is Jesus talking, but he said that the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated in this one story. Did you know that Jesus said that 11 times? This is the 11th time that he said it. And it says that the story of a man who is going on a long trip, and he called together his servants, and he entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Verse 15 says that he gave five bags of silver to one, and two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing in proportion to their abilities. And then he left on a long trip. Now, you know, when you kind of look at some of the commentaries on this, I don't want to get into the deepness of it, but the reality of it is that these bags of silver were essentially, one bag of silver was like a lifetime's earning. So the common, you know, lifetime of 20 approximate years is what this one bag of silver. And so sometimes we look at it and we think, well, man, one guy got five, one guy got two, and one guy got one. man, the guy that got one, well, you got to understand, the one guy that got one, he still got a lot of money. He got a lifetime of money. And so, you know, here another guy gets two lifetimes of money, and the one guy got five times the lifetime of money. So we can see that they all got a lot of money. But it says that the kingdom of God is illustrated this way, and just as it was from the beginning when God placed Adam and Eve, God gave Adam and Eve this responsibility to keep it and to tend it. The same is true in God's kingdom, just as what's being said here, that in God's kingdom, there is a stewardship that must take place. We are given something. Just as these men were given five bags of silver and two bags of silver and one, you and I are given, we're giving something in life. We're given time, we're given treasure, and we're given talents. And we have, just as we are illustrated right here, we're going to give an account for that. And so, you know, we have to understand that the master in this story gave in proportion to their ability. Now, sometimes maybe we may think to ourselves, well, that's not fair. You know, that you know, the one guy only got so much because of his abilities. Well, the good thing about it is that each and every one of us in this place, we can increase our abilities. Did you know that? You can go out and you can learn new things and do new things, and you can go back to school and you can learn different, you know, things and increase in ability, and therefore increase in what it is that's given to you. And so we just have to focus. The focus should be on what has been given to you. What are you doing with what it is that has been given to you? And so he gives to you and I according to the abilities that we have. And the good news is that we can get more abilities. And so what's interesting about this, though, is that he gave these bags of silver to these guys, and he didn't tell them what to do. He just said, I'm leaving, and he left. You know, so there was really no instructions. There was no stipulations put on what it was that was given to these individuals. He just said, here it is, I'm going away. And he left, you know? And so here we are. It says, you know, in verse 16, what we do with it. It says that the servant who received the five bags of silver did what? He began to invest the money and earned five more bags of silver. And the servant with two bags of silver, what did he do? He went to work and earned two more bags of silver. And the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Notice, his master's money. He hid it. You know, so what we see here is that, you know, when we've been given something, we need to invest it. Well, you know, what is that? That's just putting money to work. That's just investing what it is that God has given to us. Another thing that we can do is we can put our hand to work. So we can begin to utilize what it is that God's given us. Maybe we go out and we buy equipment to make more money, or buy property, or whatever it is that God has given us according to our abilities. But the reality of it is that what we see here is that there's an expectation being put on these stewards to do something with it. And it says, after a long time, the master did what? He returned from the trip, and he called them to give an account and how they used, look at this, his money. And so I just want you to see that this wasn't their money. It was his money. And just as we see here in this illustration, remember, I remind you that Jesus said that this is an illustration of the kingdom of God. And so the same thing that is true here is true in our lives, that the master has given us time, treasures, and abilities, and he's gone away. And he has said, and he's promised us that he is returning. And just as we see here, we're going to be called to give an account. We're going to be called to give an account, and he's going to ask us, how did we use what he gave us? How did we use the money? How did we give use the talents and the giftings in our lives? And so we have to understand that it's his money. It's his money. And it goes on to say here in verse 20 that the servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more bags and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver, and I invested and I earned five more. And look what he says. The master was full of praise. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together. And that, he went on to say that the servant who had received two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest. I've earned two more. And he said the very same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Do you know that this is the only time in the Bible where we are said that the servant was told, well done, good and faithful servant. And it had to do with money. Well done. And I think that sometimes we say, well, we want to stand before him someday and we want him to say, well done, good and faithful. And it's in regards to what it is that we do in this life. You know, the calling and the purpose and the plan that he's placed upon every one of us. But the reality of it is that this is the context in which he's talking about is money. When we stand before him, will he say, well done, good and faithful servant, because of how we handled our money in this life? And actually, it's not our money, it's his money. How did we handle his money? And so the master returned, he called them to give an account. And so I want you to recognize that he gave it to them. And so in your notes, a steward recognizes the source of life. If we're a steward, if we call ourselves a steward, we recognize the true author and the true source of life, and it is him. Amen? It's not in your notes, but I added this afterwards, that a steward recognizes, this isn't mine. This isn't mine. It's just like, you know, when somebody loans us an Airbnb and they let us go in, we recognize, this isn't mine. I'm just here for a little bit. I'm just using it. I'm just going to steward it. A couple years ago, we rented, there's another app out there called Turo where you can borrow somebody's car. Now, I was looking at a vet, like the new vet, right? You know, we're going to go to Dallas and it's like, let's ride in style, right? You know, and I mean, you know, you throw a little bit more money at it. And I opted for a Jeep. But you know what? I knew that was somebody else's Jeep. And I was taking care of it. I mean, when we got to the airport, this thing was pristine. There was no scratches, no nothing anywhere on it. And they had taken pictures, and so I took pictures. And so when we were riding in this thing, it's like, you know, I was telling Rachel, you hold that big slurp with two hands, right? Do not spill in this thing. And if you're going to eat some Fritos or chips or whatever, make sure you don't, you know, fall down in between the seats. Why? Because it's not ours. Now, if it's your van, you drink with one hand and you let the chips go everywhere you want to go, right? It's our van. You do whatever you want to do. You know, with our van, my only requirement with our van is that you're up to date on your shots because we don't know what's living in the van. Okay? And that's not her fault. That's our kids' fault, right? They're totally disregarding what is not theirs. We just call it a rolling biohazard. We have stickers on the side too. No, I'm just joking. You guys need to laugh. You know, this whole thing when it comes to money, you know, people all get all uptight and they get, you know, just relax. Because the reality of it is that when it comes to money, it's his. He gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the abilities and the you know, the graces. There's things that are on your life, you guys that are, you know, employees and business owners. I mean, the hand of God is on your life to increase. And it's his ability on your life. And it's his favor on your life that brings it into your life. And sometimes it's like it starts showing up and we get all excited. And it's like something that we've done when in reality, it's something that he has given to us. And so we just have to understand, man, this isn't mine. And I'm a steward of it. And I'm going to give an account. And so the problem, though, is that some people, they just don't think that way. They think I've earned this. They think that I went to school for this. I'm not trying to minimize hard work and all of that because that is biblical. But when you look at what it is that you have done and you think to yourself, this is what I've done. You know, Hezekiah did the same thing. You know, that God blessed him with all this wealth as a king. And he that was his downfall, was that he didn't tell man and people who it was that had blessed him. And so we just got to make sure that we don't do that because some people do that. You know, and anyone in here that has teenagers knows what I'm talking about, right? Anybody in here have a teenager? I mean, I got three of them. So it's like, we're outnumbered all in one fell swoop. But, you know, as a teenager, and I can remember, you know, growing up, and I've heard myself say this too, that it's like, as long as you live in this house, right? Anybody else in here ever said that? I don't know what you're thinking, but that isn't yours, right? I mean, sometimes, like, I know I use this illustration a lot, but like with zebra cakes, I'll hide them. Why? Because they're mine, okay? And they just think, well, they can just eat whatever it is they want. My wife, she says that I'm selfish. It's like, no, I'm just protecting what it is that's mine, because this is my house and these are my zebra cakes and that's my car and that's my electricity and that's my water and all of these things, right? I'm gonna give an account for stewarding this someday. And the teenagers, like my daughter, I have one daughter and I won't tell you who she is, but I mean, she has multiple lights on in her room. I mean, I'm like, I go in there and I'm switching stuff off, like switch. You know, sometimes I'll count out loud. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else in here do that? Yeah, I know. Actually, my electrician, when I built the house, is like, you know what you should do? You should put a master switch right here as you go out the garage. I'm like, that's the silliest thing ever. And now I know why. If you could just hit the switch, the whole thing goes dark. But we have to help teenagers understand, you don't own anything, right? You're living here for a while, and then you're going to move on. And reality is going to set in something fierce. It's gonna come in like a flood. It's not yours, it's mine. But here's the deal, guys, we laugh. But sometimes believers are like teenagers. I'm making a joke about it, but we think it's ours. We think we're entitled. We think it's you know, and we forget about the fact that it is not ours, and we are a steward of that. The car that you drove here in, the metal came from the ground, his ground, right? The steak that you ate is from the cattle on 1,000 hills that he owns, right? The house that you live in that was built out of glass and all of these different things and wood and all this stuff came from where? It came from his earth. So it's his and not ours. We're a steward of it. Psalms 50:12 says it this way. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for all the world is mine. All the world is mine and everything in it. It's all his. The car is his. The house is his. The stuff is his. The dog is his. Thank you, Lord. The dog is his. Thank God the dog is his. Don't? I'm gonna. So they say that there's the top five questions that are asked of pastors is, will my dog go to heaven or hell? And my answer is, your dog's going to heaven, mine's going to hell. I won't hear him barking from there. Listen. I can't say that. Well, I did, it's too late. Listen, it's all his, okay? It's all his. And yeah, all right. So here's what we have to do, guys. We have to just settle it in our heart. I'm just a steward. I am a steward of what it is that he's given to me, and I'm expected to take care of it. I'm expected to. That's the thing. And so what it is, it went on to say that the master praised the 5 and the 2 and said, well done. He called them good and faithful. And so a steward is faithful with what it is that he has been given. If you're a true steward of what it is that he's given, you are faithful with what you've been given. And what's really great about it is that there's a promise when we're a good steward. And that is that we end up with more. He gives us more. It opens up the ability for him to bless us with more. But look what it goes on to say. It says that the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "My master, I knew that you were a harsh man, harvesting crops that you didn't plant and gathering crops that you didn't cultivate. I was afraid that I would lose your money. And so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's the money back." You know, and so what we see here is that this one, the one with one bag, it was what he knew. And kind of the way that I wrote it was that his perception of the master was wrong. His perception of him was wrong. His perception of the master was wrong. His perception of himself was wrong. Why? Because he was afraid that he would lose it. He was afraid. And so his perception was wrong. And so what we see here is that the wrong perception and fear will keep you from stewarding what it is that God's been given to you. You just have to trust, you know, it's just like, you know what, Lord, I'm going to do my best. That's why the Bible says that when we commit our ways to him, he'll bless us. He'll help us, you know, and in our lives. And when it comes to stewarding what it is that God's given to us, we can't be afraid. We just say, you know what, Lord, you've given me abilities. You've given me talents, you know, and I'm just trusting you and the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of me to lead and guide me and direct me. And, you know, when I make a mistake and maybe I lose some of that which you've blessed me with, you can bring it back. You can return it to me. I'm just going to be faithful and I'm going to produce and multiply what it is that you've given to me. And so the wrong perception and fear, though, will keep us from stewarding it. So my question to you is what do you know? What do you know? Because, you know, what do you know about the kingdom of God? What do you know about your master? What do you know that has been given to you? And what are you doing with that? And so let's look at what the master reply to that excuse was. He says, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew that I had harvested crops and didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you at least deposit the money in the bank? And at least I could have gotten some interest on it." And then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those," listen to this, "to those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what is little they will have will be taken away." And so what we see here, guys, is that there's an expectation on our life. There's an expectation with the money that you have. And the expectation is not to maintain it. It's not to maintain it, it's to multiply it. And so, you know, I heard recently that when money passes from one generation, they say that the first generation makes it, the second generation maintains it, and the third generation loses it. And so it's just imperative that we understand, okay, I'm a steward of this. I'm not meant to just maintain this. No, I'm meant to advance this. I'm meant to add to it. I'm meant to multiply it. There's an expectation to grow what it is that we have. Use it well. I'm going to use it well. And when I use it well, what am I promised? I'm promised that more will be given to my life. And so those that do nothing, the little that we do have is going to be taken away. And so we just have to understand, you know what? I'm going to live my life and I'm going to use this well. It's not mine. And I think that just kind of takes some of the pressure off too, you know, when it comes to, you know, giving and receiving and tithes and offerings. You know, a lot of times it's like, well, I'm just trying to hold on to it. I'm trying to maintain the little bit that I do have. When in reality, if we would just change the way our perception of how we look at it and say, you know what? This is God's. He gave it to me. And now I'm just returning it back to him. And he said that when I return it back to him, he's just going to give me more. And it's just going to come. And I'm just going to steward that. And I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to return it to him. And it's just this cycle of growth that he wants to bring in our lives. And so number three is this. Stewardship is giving. And I want to look here at 2 Corinthians 9 because it's just a great illustration of what it means to give. And if you guys remember, Paul was talking to the Corinthians church, and the Corinthian church, they were well-to-do. You know, they had lots of people in their congregation that were well-to-do, had all these different people that did these different things, had plenty of money, and they had heard about the church in Macedonia, which was a different church. And the church in Macedonia, when they had heard about the generosity and the heart of the people in Corinth, they got excited. You know, even though they didn't have a lot of money, they got excited. And so the church in Corinth wanted to give some money to the church in Macedonia, and they were very excited. And Paul just said, he was just reminding them. He's like, hey, listen, I want you to remember that you need to be willing to give the gift. Because what had happened, for whatever reason, they wanted to give the gift about a year in advance. But here, you fast forward a few, you know, a year, and they're going to this church, and he's encouraging you. He says, listen, you got it. You got to have that same attitude. Just remember to be willing in this. And so it shows us that attitude in giving is so important. That's what it shows us. And so in verse 6, I actually, in your notes, I forgot to put the thing, but it's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. It says, remember this, that a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. And so our crop is determined by the amount of seed that we have. And our side is that in verse 7, it says that you must decide in your heart how much you will give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so, you know, the thing is, guys, is that the point in this is really our attitude. It's how you give. Not necessarily what you give, but how you give. And what it's saying here is that God loves the person that willingly and cheerfully gives. So it's like, Lord, I just want to thank you for what it is that you've blessed me with. It's yours, and I'm happy to return it to you. That's what pleases God. And so God loves a cheerful giver. It goes on to say in verse 8 that God, look at this. This is the promise to you when your attitude is right. How many of you guys like promises? I like promises. When I'm promised something, I know it's going to happen. And look what God said. It says that God will generously provide all you need, and then you will always have everything that you need and plenty left over to share it with others. For God is the one that provides the seed. Are you guys picking up all these things? It says the farmer and the bread to eat. And then the same way, he'll provide and increase your resources, all because of the attitude, right? And then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. And yes, you will be enriched in every way. He's talking about money, but Paul's saying, listen, you do these things in every way. If you're willing and you have a good attitude, you'll be enriched in every way. And so quickly here, it says in your notes, God provides the need. God provides your needs. God provides the seed. God increases the resource. God produces generosity in you. And God will enrich you in every single way. And people will glorify God because of your generosity. These are great promises, folks. These are great promises that it's like, you know what? It's all His. And what's amazing about it is that he's gonna continue to give me seeds. He's gonna continue to meet my needs. He's gonna increase me. He's going to enrich your life in every area. And so my encouragement to you today is just as a steward to have the right attitude. Have the right attitude. That's the stewardship in giving. Number 4 and finally is this. Stewardship with less is the key to more. Stewardship with less is the key to more. You remember we read this earlier, Matthew 25, 23, it says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together. I know, you know, in times like this, you know, there can be challenges because, you know, if you have things that are coming up against you, you got this, and this. And that's the challenge. Like right now, it's like, oh yeah, that's a great word, Brian. But the challenge is in the doing of it. And so my encouragement to you is like, you know what, Lord, I'm just gonna determine. I don't feel like I have a lot. I don't feel like I have a lot to give. But man, I'm just gonna do your word according to what it is that I've been placed in my life. It's kind of like the widow with the 2 pennies. You guys remember her? You know, she put in 2 pennies or 2 mites into the offering. There were some people that were there in front of her that had a lot more money, and they gave a lot of money, and she walked through and Jesus saw her give, and she gave all that she had. But see, it was her attitude and what it is that she gave of her life. And he actually pointed her out and said that she was the one that gave more because of her attitude and her willingness in it. And so today, my encouragement to you is to just give God what it is that you have. Give him your best. Whatever it is that you can be willing to give above and beyond your tithe. And say, you know what, Lord, I've seen your word firsthand. I know that it's not mine and it's yours. And I'm just a steward of what it is that's been given to me. And so today, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put into practice what it is that you've laid out in your word. And I know that you're gonna increase me because why? Because I'm being faithful. I'm being the good and the faithful servant of what it is that's been given unto me. And I believe that no matter how small or how great you give today for this Heart for the House offering, I believe that God will, he will return it to you because he promised that he would, amen? And then what'll happen is as you get more, then you can just say, Lord, I just thank you that you've given me more. And now is another opportunity to just test me in my stewardship of what it is that you have blessed me with. And I'm going to pass that test. Amen. 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 Well, let's just pray here today. And then we'll receive this Heart for the House offering. Amen. Father, we just come before you today. I thank you so much for your word and the promise to us as believers. Father, we endeavor to be stewards of what it is that you have given to us. We're thankful and we recognize, Father, with everything that's within us, Lord, that is what it is. It's from you. And so today, Father God, we're going to just honor you in our giving. And we thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. So we have three different ways you guys can give. We you know, you guys are aware of this. You know, you can give by the text, you can give by check. You can give by text. If you text house and the amount to the number up on the screen, you can text give in the amount, or you can text house in the amount. If it's for Heart for the House, we'd ask you to use house just so that we can, you know, differentiate between the difference between your tithe and the offering of Heart for the House. You know, and maybe you guys don't know this, but you know, Rachel and I, ours is set up through the Lead app. Ours just automatically comes out of our checking account. Our tithe just automatically comes out of our checking account. And so today we're just writing a check. I haven't written a check in I don't even know how long. So it's like, wow, you still have these things. But you know what? It's gonna be good. And I just want you to know, you know, the goal was 50,000, but I just want you to know it's not even about the amount. My prayer for today was not, Lord, I want the 50,000. My prayer was, Lord, help us as believers to understand your heart for giving, understand your heart for being a steward. Amen. Because I know that when we have this stewardship thing down, it changes our life dramatically. It changes everything about us. And so it's my prayer was just in us, him doing something in us. I want him to do something in me. I want him to do something in you, because I know that when we see things in a different light, when we see things in the light of his word and we put into practice, it just opens up these new horizons and these new places of blessing in our life. And I want him to do that for you and for your family and for your finances. And I know we're promised here that he will do it, amen? Let's just pray here one more time, and then we'll pass those buckets. Father, we just come before you. Father, today we honor you with this offering. It's above and beyond, Father God, what it is that you have blessed us with, because Father, we love this house. We love this place, Father. There have been stewards that have gone before us that have sacrificially given to this house, to build this house, to love this house, to see that this house has supplied for. And so today, Father, we step into the same place that these people that have gone before us did. And we steward what it is that you've given to us. This place, this harvest barn, this place, Father, where people can come and be encouraged, come and find their place in Christ, where kids and youth can come and be ministered to, Father. We love this house and we take care of this house, Father God, because we know that this place has been given to us by you. And so today we steward it with everything that's with us in us. And we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may pass the buckets, and we got a few announcements.